Concession number 25935.
To Hall Rail 9. Now we're talking about your time at HMS Excellent, and then from there you'd go each day to the Eastleigh Barracks in
Yes,
Portsmouth.
yes.
And we talked about the pom-poms. What about the other things you mentioned?
The Bofors,
Yeah, tell me about how.
which were single guns, but they still had a layer of trainer and a loader. But those were anti-aircraft guns, and they were probably more accurate than the pom-poms.
Now,
They
how
were
did you
single.
load them? I mean, what was the
They were
system
the
fire?
same. The system of loading those was exactly the same.
So very.
Bam, bam, they just slam one in and fire them.
And it was again a clip.
That was their clip, yeah, on those.
And they were more accurate, you felt.
They were more, well, as accurate as the layer and trainer could make them. It was up to the layer and trainer. There was nothing hydraulic or any of that business. It was up to the layer and trainer. All the layer would say on, the trainer would say on and fire. If they were one of them was out, well then the thing didn't work. I mean, you were just firing shells up there. But we hit a few drogues while we were there. Well, I mean, this was pure drogue firing at drogues.
Now, what about the Oerlikon? You didn't mention it, but I'm
Now, the
sure you.
Oerlikon was a single thing which you stood up in. You had shoulder things here which you strapped
A
yourself in.
harness.
You had a harness and strapped yourself in, and you would control it by laying back on the harness, really. You would be stood up. I mean, later on they had them with sitting down in a little tiny turret arrangement which you could swivel around, but that was later on in the war. I didn't have anything to do with those, but these were just hand yourself. Now, the ammunition was in like the thing on top of a snail. You know, the shell, the shell of it on top of a snail. It looked exactly like that. So inside, the rounds would go around and round like that, and they would come out as you fired them. They were clipped on like that, so that the rounds came down like a belt, but in a circle round inside.
And what did you think of the Oerlikon? Because there were a lot of them
They
used,
were
but
fun.
why were they fun?
Well, I don't know, because you were on your own. It was you, nobody else. It was you firing the thing. It was you against that up there on your own.
And were they accurate? Or accurate, you know, as much as anything
There was a
else?
lot of tracer in those, I remember. There were a lot of tracer bullets. I think every fifth bullet was a tracer, so you could actually see where the thing was going. But unless you'd got the range right, I mean, you had nothing to tell you how far the thing was away from you.
The target.
The target was away. It was, you know, you'd fire it by just a hose. It would be a hose arrangement. So you'd go up to it and or along it, whichever way the hose was going.
Now, when you fired at drogues, I mean, I'm surprised you, how far, I mean, you make danger of hitting the aircraft
There
with
was
them.
always I there was always the danger of hitting an aircraft, because we were all there was a lot of people that have never fired guns before that were training to fire the things, and probably pick up the wrong target. But the pilot used to sort of have a scream about that if it was any near to him. There were a few dangerous moments for the pilots, I think, but the drogues used to be fairly well, not all that far behind, but I suppose a 100, 200 yards.
Now, were you taught about deflection shooting? In other words, or were you taught to barrage shoot? I mean,
The
or.
pom-poms were taught were mostly barrage shooting. The Oerlikons and the Bofors was more direct. Now, as I said, you had on the sights were like a rifle sight, if you will. But instead, so you had a back sight with a little bead on, and you had this thing on the front or halfway up the gun, which was like, as I said, a spider's web. You had the circles from the bullet at the centre. You had a little ring, then you had a ring, two rings going round. Now, those rings represented so many miles an hour to us, and they were in that. And then you had lines coming through from top to bottom and at certain angles round, so that you could have the thing coming in that way, coming down that way, going along that way, whatever. And you would put your sight, whichever you thought was that far in front. you'd follow the line of that one. You'd get the aircraft to come along that line, and you'd have your centre circle, whatever you thought, in front of him. But the only way you could sort of alter that was if you saw the tracers going too far ahead, then you brought it towards the target a little bit more. So they were accurate. I suppose they were accurate to the eyesight and the knowledge of the gunner who was firing the damn thing, really. But they were just personal. They were more personal weapons, I suppose, than.
So that was your favourite, the Oerlikon.
Well, I didn't fire it much after that. I was always on pom poms after that, really.
And what about the Lewis gun? You'd not.
The Lewis gun, we just did it just in case we ever had to go ashore for landing parties. That was mainly the reason for that. I didn't like the Lewis gun very much. It was not very accurate, and I didn't like it very much. And we had to. I didn't like it mainly because we had to strip it down and put it all back together again, and we had time runs on it, and I didn't like that very much.
And you didn't do stripping of any of the other bigger guns.
No. That was going to be done by ordnance people you have on board ships.
Now, anything else you were learning at HMS Excellent?
No.
Was there an aircraft recognition course?
Yes, there was aircraft recognition courses.
No, it's all right. How were they teaching that at that time?
By silhouettes. And they would hold them up and say, what's this or what's that, or just the way they did it then. They'd just have the silhouette.
They didn't have any of the simulator rooms or anything
like that? No, we had no simulator things then.
How did you find aircraft records? I mean, it's quite difficult to learn. I mean,
I could recognise a few. I used to recognise a few of them. I couldn't recognise all of them. I learned to recognise the Stukas. I learned to recognise a couple of our own, so I wouldn't fire at them too often. The Focke-Wulfs, the Dorniers, I remember those because I was going to meet a lot of those.
Did they tell you about the different engine sound? Because there's a different.
They didn't actually tell us about it, but they, I think they had the engine noises. They were differences in them. I know that. I know there were differences in the Germans to ours.
So anything else there? Not really.
No, there's nothing really. I passed out. I passed out as an AA2.
Well, that means.
And that means I could now take charge of a pom pom.
Anti-aircraftman too.
Yeah. I had cross guns now on my arm.
So what happened next then?
So I was getting a bit more pay.
And that'd be about July-ish, we think,
yes.
42.
Now I go from there, and I've drafted to HMS Manchester.
Matchless.
At Matchless. Sorry. HMS Matchless.
Now, where was
now,
she?
Now, the Matchless, I'm on my own. I go aboard the Matchless on my own. I go by train, I go up to Newcastle, up to Newcastle. Is Newcastle on the Firth or Forth?
No.
Where's Rosyth?
Rosyth.
Where's Jarrow?
Newcastle.
Newcastle. So I go up to Newcastle because I'm going up to Jarrow.
That's it.
Hebburn and Jarrow I'm going
it's
to.
Opposite Newcastle.
So I go up to Newcastle, I get I get transport from Newcastle Station down to the docks in. I'm sure it's Jarrow I go to. I'm not sure if it's Jarrow or Hebburn. I can't remember which. They are next to each other.
Now,
but she's lying in dry dock.
Now, what is she? What
she is a destroyer. She's a fleet destroyer. The first one, I think, the first fleet destroyers that had closed turrets.
Now, what did you think? What were your first impressions?
My first impression of her was what an awful looking sight she looked, because I was actually looking down on her, more or less, because she was down in the dock, so she was just below the dock level. The gangway from the dock was actually going down to the deck, and she was in dry dock. She was just loaded, everything was coming out of her. There were hoses, there were cables, there were electric cables, there were everything. It was in dockyard hands.
Now, she was in dry dock. Was she being completed or repaired?
No, I think she must have been under repairs. I think she'd been at sea and She was either having a complete boiler clean and a complete refit. They were doing everything to her. We were still living on their mess decks. I remember going aboard, I had my kit bag and hammock. I'm now an able seaman.
Yeah, oh, you're an able
I'm
seaman.
I'm an able seaman now, because I'm near 20, aren't I?
Now, what difference did that make, being an able seaman?
Not a lot. Perhaps a bit more sway in the mess decks. I'm now a qualified seaman. I'm not somebody that's just joined the ship as a novice. I've been to sea a long time. I've been on ships, so I'm pretty conversant now with what I've got to do when I get aboard. I'm not scared. I was a bit apprehensive, I suppose, going aboard a ship on my own, especially when you see them all looking at you to see what you're going to do or who you are. I go into my mess deck and I look round and I think, good gracious, this is a bit different to battleships and cruisers.
Now, that's what
I must say.
The very thing I want to ask you about.
I must
it's
say.
It's a destroyer.
It's a destroyer.
It's not a cruiser.
And it's very compact.
Now, tell me about it. Describe the mess deck. Why was it different?
Well, the messes, instead of being sort of athwart ships, as they were on the battleship and the cruiser, these were fore and aft. So you were alongside, they were, you know, from far, they'd come down following in the centre, of course, was all your magazine hoists, your hammock nettings, everything was in the middle. And you were either side. And the mess deck I was on, I think there was, in the mess deck, there were four messes, one either side going down that. Forward of that, there were another two messes right in the bows. They were somebody else's messes. And then underneath us, down a hatch, down a ladder, was the stoker's mess and the communications, the signalman. They were down. Below.
Now, were they more cramped, these messes?
Yes. They were a bit more cramped. There were not a lot of space. There was not a lot of space. There's not a lot of beam. There's not a lot of room in a destroyer, I found. You sit down and you stay down. There's not a lot of room to travel around very much. And as soon as you get out of the... abaft us towards the forecastle ends and you come to the waist of a destroyer, you get that thing that comes, you know, you get the folks are coming along now, and then you're down, and then the remainder of the ship's going aft with your davits, your galley, the funnel, and everything else is aft of that. Just inside the doorway is the heads and the bathroom, which was about, well, not very wide anyway, a bit long but not very wide, and there wasn't very many of them. I mean, you had to queue up to go to the toilet on a destroyer.
Now, what did you think of this compared to a big ship? I mean,
quite a lot. I thought. My immediate reaction was that I wasn't going to like it. It was not what I'd been used to. I mean, the sailors I saw when I first were in all sorts of rigs. I'd been used to sort of, well, more pusser, I suppose. More routine, more strict. This was going to be a bit lax, if I may use that word.
And that worried you?
It did worry me a little bit. After a week, it did worry me a bit. It didn't seem right. I'd been so used. I'd had a few years now of big ship stuff. I hadn't been on small ships. I didn't realise that small ships were quite a different thing, even from the captain downwards. They didn't wear uniform that, as we would know it. They'd wear whatever they thought they would wear, practically, to a certain extent. They had to dress to go ashore. They had their number ones, but they didn't have much aboard. It was a working ship now I was on. It was not a pusser ship anymore. It was going to be a working ship, I found very shortly.
Now, how did you fit in with the crew?
I fit in very well, actually. I was still... I don't remember any bother about being unwanted or cast aside or ostracised or anything. I fit in very well. I mean, I've done the sea time. I know about ships. I know about most of the Navy now. I've done my courses and.
So you made friends quickly.
I made friends very quickly. I had a few special friends, I suppose, again, that you learn to know.
What were you looking for in special friends? Were they people who are like you, or the people who are different, or
probably people that were different, really, in many ways, I think. I mean, one of my biggest chums aboard that eventually was an able seaman named Happy Day. Able Seaman Day, and he was an ordnance man. He looked after the oiling of the guns, and that's why he was the gunnery in the gunnery department that looked after the workings of the guns. And I got very well in with him. I got very well in with one of the leading seamen of my mess. But he was a posh one. I can't remember his name.
By posh, you mean?
But posh, he spoke nice, and he was a bit. I think he was a bit la-di-da, a bit different to what I'd seen before.
And what you mentioned, Happy Day. Did you all have nicknames?
Oh yes, mine was Nobby Hall. There was Nobby Hall. There was Tug Wilson. There was Jimmy Green, and there was Happy Day. There was I can't remember a lot of them.
Were they traditional nicknames? Or
yes, they were.
Up?
No, they were traditional.
Was Hall
always Nobby? Yeah, it was Nobby Hall, Nobby Clark. They all
Nobby
had that.
Hall?
And then if you were short, you were lofty, and you know that sort of thing. I don't know. It's just and Nobby Hall.
And you all used them.
We all used them. Yeah.
So you call
them.
Happy Day.
I mean, nobody called me John Hall. I mean, it was Nobby or.
And Happy would be.
And Happy would be Happy Day. Yeah. Each knew who they were talking.
Can I ask you about swearing on the lower deck? Was there much?
Oh, there was a lot. There was a bit of that. Not as much swearing as there is today, I must admit.
Do you mean in the Navy or in normal life?
Normal life, and then the Navy as well. There wasn't a lot of swearing. We could use other language besides swearing, I think.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I always remember the saying of a chief GI could bawl you out for half an hour without using a swear word. Now, what the language you used to use, it was derogatory language, I suppose, but not actually telling the S or the bloody was probably used a lot. But I can't remember anybody saying, you know, you're an F&B or whatever. I can't remember that for
now,
that
so
done
what,
into the
curriculum. How long were you on the matchless before you left Jarrow? If it was Jarrow, it might have been heaven. I accept that. But
we weren't on very long. I think she was finishing her. I think she was finishing up when I went aboard her. I think they'd done all the work. They were clearing up. Perhaps another 3 or 4 weeks or a month. A month probably is the most. And we went. Then we went back to Scapa. I'm back to Scapa again.
And how did you feel about going back to Scapa?
Not very happy at that stage. I thought Scapa was the only place there was. I mean, the times I've spent in Scapa during the war was nobody's business.
I think, were you, as a fleet destroyer, were you joining the fleet?
We were joining the foam fleet, yeah. We were a fleet destroyer. There was the four M's. There was the Matchless, Musketeer, Marne, Meteor. I think we were the four main. We were always nearly together as a squadron.
Now, did you understand what the role of fleet destroyers was?
Guarding the fleet, yes. I'd already been to sea with three fleet destroyers, and every time a big ship was going to go out, we knew one of us had to go out with her, or three of us had to go out with her. We were always going to be with the fleet, unless we had other duties. Now, some of our patrols before I went on the Russian convoys, some of our patrols were going out into the Atlantic on U-boat hunting, U-boat patrols.
Well,
for
tell
a couple
me about
of weeks.
That. Tell me about the anti-submarine
sweeps. Anti-submarine sweeps.
Was that with the rest of the...
There used to be a flotilla, yeah. We used to go
Do you know the
as
number
a flotilla.
Of the flotilla?
I don't know the number of the flotilla, but Captain D was the musketeer. As I said, we normally worked together. There was a musketeer, Marne, Meteor, and perhaps an O-boat, Harpoon, perhaps a Savage, four or five of us.
What was an anti-submarine sweep like in the North Sea? Not North Sea, in
Atlantic.
In the Atlantic.
Well, it wasn't. Well, in the Atlantic, we used to sweep from off the coast of... Oh, I'm scratching.
All right.
Off the coast of Ireland, go out about halfway across the Atlantic and up towards Iceland, do box sweeps, Asdic pings, mainly when convoys were coming backwards and forwards, we would sweep before they got there to see if there was anything around. But I don't can't remember us very doing very much, except so I can't remember us attacking very
what
much.
What was it like in as a seagoing ship? I mean, was it wet or dry?
She was very wet. She rolled a lot. She rolled a lot. She was wet inside.
Now, where did the water come from?
Well, mostly inside was condensation. Or somebody leaving a hatch open or something. But, I mean,
it wouldn't be slopping around 6 inches deep.
Not yet. I can deal with that later.
Okay. So, I mean, did you find... I mean, you weren't ever seasick, but did you find the rolling...
One very hairy moment was we were coming off one patrol and we were on our way back to Scapa, and we were just north of Londonderry, and it was on a spring day. It was sunny, cold, but one of those crisps, sort of remember your crisp, sunny, cold day. Things were very cold. It wasn't rough, but there was a hell of a swell. There were great swells. And we were stern to sea. The sea was on our stern. And we were leading. They were the next one to us. I think was probably about a mile behind us. And so they'd be in line ahead, more or less. I was on the pom pom just behind. I was closed up on the pom pom just behind the funnel that was my station. We were on there, and we were actually shipping them over the stern. But not dangerously. We were sort of slowing around a bit. But then there was one moment when there was a the actual stern disappeared, and she rolled over. I suppose she rolled over. The actual starboard side had disappeared, and I'm up on the pom pom, halfway up the funnel. I suppose you're up. Quite high from the main upper deck, and I suppose the water is damn near lapping over that. She must have heeled over, almost to the probably limit, I think, and she laid over there for what appeared to be ages before she came back again. That was just a heavy swell, and I always remember the ship astern of us, the destroyer astern of us, had made a comment. It was one of these silly signals again. Where the stern of your bottom looks very the pink of your bottom looks very becoming. And our skipper sent back, yes, we're always on heat in the spring. But I mean, they must have seen quite a lot of our undercarriage anyway. She came back, fortunately, and apparently they inside the mess deck, I think they were almost standing on the bulkheads, which is the sides. She did roll. How the hell they ever come back from those, I don't know.
Let's talk about...
So we went into Londonderry to have a look at any repairs, because there must have been a lot of movement in the engine room, I would have thought. So we went in there for repairs for a little while, and then it was back to... went ashore quite a few times in Londonderry, had a good time down there in Londonderry, and then when it was finished, we went back to Scapa.
Now... Tell me about your action station on the pom-pom. Give us an idea of exactly what it was.
Well, my action...
It was your action station, was it?
Or it was on my all... That was all my station, practically. That was going to be my gun forevermore.
Can you describe... I know you just sketched it out. Can you describe in more detail exactly which gun it was, which pom-pom? It was a four-barrel, was it, or the eight?
This was the eight-barrel. We were on an eight-barrel thing on this, I think. Yes, it was eight-barrel, this one. A big one. And it was on a mounting just behind the funnel. There was
on the starboard side.
No, it was down amidships.
Sorry, yes.
We're amidships. Yeah. When we were in harbour, the pom pom was laid fore and aft, with the thing pointing astern. Now we could traverse around until we got just about that angle forward, and then you had all the stern, and then you had the other side. So you traversed. Round the stern, mostly. You couldn't fire anything forward.
Was there anything to stop? I've often wondered this.
The funnel stopped it.
I mean, could
you had stops.
Yes, that's what I mean. The gun.
Yeah.
Would
your gun would stop. It wouldn't go any further.
So, in your excitement of tracking something,
you couldn't blow the funnel away. No.
Now, so who was in the crew on the eight barrel?
Well, there was the layer and trainer again. There was the ammunition people, two or three of them probably. There was the captain of the gun. There were about six, I suppose, six or seven
of us.
And
what
were
were you?
I was the captain of the gun now.
And what did that entail? What was your job?
Looking after the crew of that and seeing that they behaved correctly and firing the gun, of course. When they said lay her on, train her on, then I would fire.
And how would you fire it?
From an ordinary...
A pistol gun,
Yeah,
you're making
yeah,
it.
yeah,
That's
yeah.
how, it was a pistol,
Yeah,
was it?
yeah.
And so how did you get on with your crew? I mean, this is your first
Very
real
well, very well,
responsibility, isn't
yeah,
it? You've
yeah.
never really had responsibility
No,
before.
they were very well.
How did you treat them to keep them on your side, you know, to make them efficient?
A lot of practice. Being, I don't know, just knowing them, I suppose. There was no, they all knew their jobs. I had a very good crew, I suppose. There was never any trouble. Not that I can remember.
Now, on the submarine sweeps, I presume there was not much to do.
No, it was all Asdics and just looking. We'd get Asdic contacts, and you go and drop a few depth charges, but never anything for
but
the
you'd still be
spectacular.
on your gun.
But that was where I'd be if I was, if we were on watch or we were closed up. If we got a contact, of course, everybody would be closed up. Otherwise, you were in the mess deck,
just
taking charge of your mess or doing the normal ship routine.
Now, was the
I mean,
ship's
we still had a ship to keep clean. We still
was
had
the
to.
ship's cleaning any different on the, than it had been on the Royal Oak?
Not
Which
quite,
you...
not quite so so perfect. No, it wasn't quite the same. You just kept it as clean as you could, because half the time you were just rolling around, so you couldn't actually keep it clean. We didn't have all that bright work to clean, because most of it by now had been painted over anyway. On the destroyers, there wasn't
It
not all
wasn't
that
painted
bright
over
work.
on the Royal Oak, though,
No,
was it? No,
no,
not before it
no,
was sunk.
no.
I
They
mean,
weren't on the cruisers either, but the destroyers didn't have that amount of bright work.
and you wouldn't have a wooden deck either, would you?
No, we didn't have a wooden deck. Most of the deck was iron of forward, and most of the deck aft from that was this non-skid.
Lino.
No, it wasn't lino. It was like a cement thing, I suppose, painted green. I remember.
Now, would you have to wash this? Would you wash
and
the
you, and
line?
you hose it, hose and hose it down. That's all.
So
I mean,
nowhere.
the sea wash most of it. If you don't.
So nowhere near as hard work.
No.
Now, what about the messing on board? I mean,
Now we're now on canteen messing.
Now, what's canteen messing? How
Which
do
is
you...
drawing potatoes and bread, and we draw bread, potatoes, and meat from the meat locker and the spud locker.
Now, did you have to pay for that, or was it the
That
real?
came out, no, that was paid for by the Navy. That was our just desserts, but everything else we had to pay for. We get an allowance for that. I don't know how much it was, but if you spent over your allowance, then you had to buy it yourself if you wanted anything. We had those. We could buy tin stuff from the canteen, like tins of peas and tins of beans or whatever we wanted. We could buy that and pay for it by whatever money we had for what we were allowed to have. If we wanted a duff or a pudding or whatever, we had to make it ourselves. We peeled our own potatoes. If we wanted a roast beef, if we wanted a roast, we went to the butcher and we asked for whatever we asked for what meat we needed for that day. We'd work out what we the leading hand of the mess would work out with his cooks what he wanted. Well, they weren't cooks; they were just seamen that were had to act as cooks. If you had a couple of good seamen in your mess that could do a dinner or could cook a bit, then you were well away. But if you had a mess that didn't have it, then you didn't eat very well.